For your journey in life, you need direction from the Master. Get set, for the word you're about to hear is a roadmap out of every challenge into newness of life. Now, Apostle Jotham Obi-Adams.
You know, this morning when I was climbing the stairs to the office, I remember when the Lord instructed us on this topic this evening, the Lord told me, you know, He said, after you have done all that you ought to do, then you can trust and obey. It's different from after you have done your best, then you can trust and obey. After you have done all that you are what? You are ought to do. What that means is, now, your best can give you, like, let's say, have you ever, if you're a teacher, you'll have taught your student, and then, how was the exams? We did our best. We did our best. But their best will only give them a C. But their best can only give them an F. Praise the Lord. Now, that is their best, but their best is not good enough. So the Bible says, after you have done, God was telling me this evening, this morning, he said, after you have done all that you ought to do, that means you have done what you are supposed to have done, then you can trust Him and obey Him. Hallelujah. Because when you trust the Lord in the right place, you can be sure of a safe landing. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5. Jeremiah 17 verse 5. And 1 Samuel 15, 22. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, any man that trusts in another man is cursed. Be it our father, be it our uncle, be it a connection, whosoever. But anybody that moves his trust away from God, the Bible says, he is cursed. Our trust must be on the Lord. Hallelujah. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight, 1 Samuel 15:22, in burnt offering and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So most times, after we are in God's will, in the right place, all we need to do, after God has instructed us, after God has directed us, and after we have decided to follow, many times it may be difficult. Hallelujah. Many times it may be difficult waiting on the processes of God, following His instructions, following the word of God, following. But all we need to do is to learn how to trust Him and obey. Come on. Hallelujah. To trust means to have confidence in God, to have resilience or reliance on God, total dependence on God. When you say, Lord, if you don't help me, no one will. Lord, if you don't make a way, no one will make a way. Lord, if you don't lift me up, no one will lift me up. Lord, if you don't supply, no one will give me. Lord, if you don't remember my name, no one will mention my name. Lord, if you don't step into my love, I am doomed. Hallelujah. Total dependence on God. Total confidence on God. Hallelujah. And then when you obey, you are doing as you are being ordered. So, you are trusting in God, obeying Him, total confidence in His instructions, total confidence in His direction, believing that it will work. Now, why do you have to trust God? Number one, God forms us and knows us better. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, before you were conceived, I knew you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nation. So, God knows us better than we even know ourselves. Come on, hallelujah. So, it is better to trust Him. In Ecclesiastes 11 verse 5, He says that, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who make it all. Hallelujah. So God knew the faith cell that was formed in us. He knew, you know, when First Lady was pregnant, that was when I was checking things that had to do with baby development online. Then you discover that you see 70 million views, 37 million views. I mean, people are researching. There are people that have done research first week of the child is like this, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You see those videos on YouTube. But the Bible says God knows before they were being formed. So God knew us. How many of you ever did something and you never knew that you yourself, you are looking strange to yourself? Like, is this me? Has it ever happened to anybody like that? A new discovery of yourself just came to you. But God knows us better. God knows who you will be in the next 5 years. But many factors can change us. So we need to trust Him. Number two, we need to know that God knows the beginning from the end. You know, I remember when I talked on, I will trust and I will follow. I gave several reasons why we need to follow God. This is different from what I'm sharing now. God knows the beginning from the end. In Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10. And then Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, I am the Alpha and what? Omega. Actually, it's not Alpha and Omega. It is Alpha Omega. God is the beginning. God is the end. The Bible says, Isaiah 46 verse 10. The Bible says, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. You know, today I was standing with my neighbor and I was asking him some things about football. I said, do you watch ball? I said, no, I watch the highlight. You know, what is interesting about watching highlight is, I was watching one of the recent match, 3-2. The match was 3-2. The highlight was 8 minutes. 7 minutes, the other opposition had 2-0. But I was still relaxed because I know the end is 3-2. You understand what I'm talking about? Yes, because I saw and the highlight is 3-2. I knew that that means in the next 1 minute, 3 goals are coming. It's different from the person that's watching the ball live. So when you watch her live from the her live, you know, every other they go 4-2. So no matter the minute you realize, no, 4-2, and you know who has won already. So that is the way God is. Like, God knows our life. Just like the way I'm watching a hala, that is the way God is watching us play. He knows the end from the beginning. Actually, the expected end. That is 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. It says, I know the plans that I have for you, the purpose that I give you, a hope and an expected end. So God knows the beginning and the end. Come on, hallelujah. God knows who is going to be the president of this country 2023. God knows everything. Number three, why we must trust God is God never, ever, ever, ever going to fail. God will never back up on us. He will never leave us. He has the final say, don't forget, He will never leave us. He will never back up on us. He's always there. Trust Him. Come on, hallelujah. Trust Him. Obey Him and trust Him. And say, Lord, it may be painful, but I will trust You. Sometimes the instructions of God to the natural eye sometimes may not be logical. But looking at it always from the spiritual eyes, you see wisdom in it. Come on, hallelujah. I remember when I was much younger with my dad. That time my dad was riding a bike. So he would carry me at the back of the bike. And then he was such a pro that on one line and a trailer can be blowing and fuel. But anytime I remember that is my dad, I forget the trailer. Because I know that my dad will never allow anything negative to happen. Like, worst come to worst, he will push me and have the accident. Like, I trust my dad. I know you understand me like that. There is somebody that you trust so much, even if the person give you poison. And then somebody tell you this person say, no, it is coke. Just that it's blood. Just it's coke. Like, you trust so much. That is the way God should be trusted. That if God say move, all you need to do is how fast. When God say turn, just say which direction. When God say jump, just ask Him how high should I jump. Hallelujah. Trust Him because He will never. Any instructions God has said, we need to trust Him that it is for our good. Praise the Lord. When you tell your child not to take too much sweet, You may look like a wicked father, but a child that trusts your instinct and your guidance will have a white teeth in the future. The one that refused me have a brown teeth in the future. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. So we should be able to trust God and say, Lord, I believe you. Anything I see in the Bible, I believe that it's going to work out for my good. If the Bible says, do this, I do it. Bible says, don't do this, I will not do it. Hallelujah. Now, I've shared several areas to trust God. Trust the word of God and his instructions. Anything God says, do. Trust the leadings and the directions of God. Trust the promises and the covenants of God. Hallelujah. I was watching a video, was it last 2 weeks? On promises. Was it Papa? On promises, like, okay, Papa, right? I remember I was watching a video last week about the promises of God. About the covenant of God. Trust him. I was listening to Bishop Tutu Bismarck. He said, when he started the ministry, he was broke, wretched, trekking. Then one day God told him, I will take you to the world. He said, God, did you smoke? He said, it was like God smoked something when he was talking to him. God, if you look at my reality, yeah, he said that God must have smoked something from Jamaica. Said, when you look at my reality, like, there is no way, like, it can never happen. Until God began to change his, you know, $1, some years ago, $1 is equal to, $1 Zimbabwe dollar was equal to $1 US. But now you have up to $1 billion in Zimbabwe dollar. Is it true? $1 billion. I've seen 100 million Zimbabwe notes, like, online. Like, the money is totally lost. But from there, God rose him up. Did he rose him up or rise him up? Or lifted him up to stardom. One of the time he was preaching, and then the U.S. president was there. He said when he married his wife, he was so broke that he could not afford honeymoon. That when the wife was signing the wedding certificate, he froze. He said, what have I done to you? Yeah. What have I done to you? Because she left affluent to follow him. He said that he held her hand and said, follow me, baby. I will change your life. So one day he took her to the expensive building when he was blessed. He said, when he kissed her there, he said she almost fainted. What am I doing here? Could this be our life? Yes. Just by trusting God. So obey the promises of God. When God says you will not die before your time, believe him. I believe God. You know, many of the times I believe that there are things that will not happen to me. Not that cannot happen. Not that I'm above it happening to me, but I believe God. Somehow I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I don't know why. But because I saw it in the Bible that no weapon, believe it. Hallelujah. I just trust God. I just trust God. If God say here, I remember when I was coming to this state, my brother called me and said, hey, there are two tribes in this state, you should not be near them. Mention one tribe, I mention another tribe. They let them never post to Lokoja, and not unlike Lokoja, there was a place he said that place was safe. Maybe he posted that, he said that place was safe. But then, not only was I posted to Lokoja, when I said I was starting ministry in Lokoja, it was like a bomb. Like you're coming back dead, like your life has just ended. Because when people are looking for charm, they fly to Kogi State. Hallelujah. The attack of Igala. The current one is not wearing a shoe. Like the current one. You know why? One time his father was on power, and then he sent him to bring something, and then he was sluggish. Said, Baba, you never wear a shoe again. That statement, till date, you could not wear a shoe. That was the thing that any pregnant woman that saw him, even if you are 9 months old, like one day to deliver, you lose that child. Spoke to a bridge and the bridge came forth physically. Like strong people till tomorrow. Hey! Charlie. There are places. Have you ever flown and say they fight the Gala land? It can never happen. Yeah, it can never happen. But God says, stay in Kogi State. And then when you look, I remember those days when I was analyzing this state. Because that time I was NCCF, that there was a car. So I remember going around the state and anointing all around the state. There is nowhere in this state that has not touched my anointing oil. Not one place. Border to border, from Yagba West to Omala, from Opo, down to Kotokarfi. I remember that when we are doing zona tour, I'll be carrying a bottle of anointing oil. That time she used to be in there. Well, I'll just open the bus, I'll just throw the oil and pass. Everywhere in this state, there is no place that I've not dropped oil. Yes. So going around, there's a Lord, you said that she said there, and then I noticed that the only double lane express road in the state was from Nataku to Zone 8. Like, from Nat. Is that the truth? The whole state, apart from Nataku to Zone 8, there is no double lane express road. Yes. And I've been around this state. I don't know if they have done any road. Ankpa is zero. Ankpa is good anyway. But Kaba is one road down to Yaba West. One bad road. The other way to Omala. Now, Omala is good because of their former governor. It has some good building and the road is good. But people had to go there. But the other place is off. And Yengba, because of the university, to a particular extent, in the Renana Hotel to the other place, it's like just around that place. Then this is, now if this is the way it is, and God say, and then I'm coming from Kaduna, say, where a local government is bigger than Lokoja. God say, at least, you know, sometimes wisdom will tell you that, no, move. Hallelujah. But I just believe that trusting God, I remember those days when God said, you don't need to be in Port Harcourt to be rich. Or you don't need to be in Lagos to be rich. I remember these words are not my words. I had God telling me that you don't need to be in Port Harcourt to be rich. You don't need to be in Lagos to be rich. You don't need to be in Abuja to be rich. Say, anywhere I send you, in there I can prosper you. I remember hearing those words from God. That prosperity is not, somebody can be in Port Harcourt and be stranded. Like if God did not send you there. So the ability to trust God and obey His leadings, His promises and covenant over your life is the surest things you can ever do. Come on, hallelujah. And then you should be able to trust in the faithfulness of God. God is not a man. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, faithful is He. Or He that has begun it will bring it to completion. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14, 24 says, faithful is He who has what? Called us, who also will do it. God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Many people that have said when they see Jesus Christ, they will have questions. By the time they finally see Him, they will not have one. Because God's appearance is the revelation of faithfulness. I remember one time when I was studying on hell. So I asked God, so people in heaven, would they be bothered about people in hell? Just think about your uncle or somebody that you know that is in hell. And then you are in heaven and just thinking about your husband or your wife is in hell. So I was just meditating the word of God at that time. So I was just wondering, maybe a wife will be in heaven and will be in one corner and her hand will be like this, thinking about her husband in hell. Or a husband will be in another corner there, thinking about his wife. Or a father will be in heaven, sitting down with Angel Michael and the angel will tapping him and thinking about his child. And say, ah, my son Michael did not make heaven. Ah, my daughter. I was just thinking in my meditation. Then the Lord told me that, Jotam, see, by the time you appear in heaven, you will know how faithful, you will not have one question, one, to ask God. You will just know that God is faithful. Everything that you think was unjust to your life, maybe where you are born, your family situation, sometimes you look at some things, and then sometimes you look at, now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever been sick and you look at one person that is very, very bad, looking healthy, and you say, Lord, I know five people that I can mention that should be on this bed, not me. Has it ever happened to anybody here? Like you say, Lord, I know if you make me angry that I can mention 100, that should be the one in this position. Yes. Look at you. You are in church, in prayer meeting. You are just everywhere. But things are not working. But I can tell you, when you appear before God, you know that God is faithful. God is faithful. Sometimes I can see a young lady, born again. You know, sometimes I wish I have sons. Like, I have children of my own. Because sometimes I see some girls, I wish myself can marry. See his wife material. faithful, born again, loyal sister, dedicated, praying in church, tongue speaking, as if church is their house, but no husband. Then you wonder. But the truth is, when we appear before God, you know that God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Sometimes, no matter what is happening in our life, we must be able to trust in the faithfulness of God. And I know that you will not give up on God's faithfulness. Now, there are dynamics of obeying God. You must understand that when God leads you, He teaches us how to obey Him. When God leads you or teaches you or instructs you, He goes before us and makes the way easy. Bible says in John chapter 10 verse 4, the Bible says, when the shepherd leads the sheep, He goes ahead of them. When God instructs you, He gives us the grace to obey Him. Hallelujah. And when God gives us instruction, He walks through us to be able to obey those instructions. So God goes ahead of us, go through us, and make it possible for us to obey His instructions. Sometimes we need supernatural power to be able to obey certain instructions from God. Sometimes some things can be hard. Hallelujah. Hey, I've said this severally, that there are some things that God will ask you to do, that even after doing it, you'll be crying. It will pain you. I remember one time, the first time I fasted for a stretch fast, let's say 13 months or something like that. So it was in a service like this, and then somebody was sitting close to me. His name was Daniel. He said that Bishop Oyedepo fasted for 1 year, so that is why God is using him. Said Bishop Oyedepo did this. And then that time I wanted to know God badly. So when I left that meeting, I said, me too, I'll fast for 1 year. It was March 23rd. So I said, me too, I'll fast for 1 year. So when I left that meeting, I said, no, I will start March 23rd. I said, I will start the next month. That means I will start April 1st, right? But when I left the meeting, I said, no, I will start tomorrow. I was alone in the room. Because that is, it was like a divine imprint on God, fast for long. So when I say I will start tomorrow, I was alone in the room, and then I started crying. I was in 200 level that time. I just started crying. Nobody asked you to fast. Nobody forced you to fast. You said you will fast, and you, it was like things came on the room. If I had not fasted, I would not be here. That fasting changed my life 180 degrees. Because in that fast, I was praying 2 hours every day, fasting every day, reading the Bible, reading books. That was the beginning of my transformation. That was when I had a call into ministry. That was when I was exactly 20. And then I began to find my purpose. That, it was like God instructed, do it. If I had not done it, I would not be here. I wouldn't have been here. Because that fasting was the turnaround of my complete life. I began to know my purpose. I began to pray. I began to speak. That was even the year I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was like a transformation experience. But just to obey, it was difficult. It was in that period that God told me, give an offering. Or give an offering like that. I can remember I've said it before, that when the ushers was going, I wish I could call her back and take my money. I remember when I preached on capitation in camp, NYC orientation. I remember my own camp. When we came out, some people were crying. I didn't know why they were crying anyway, but people were crying. So when I preached on capitation on one NYC Sunday, so the people came out, I saw married women, people that are 40 that reduce their age and they are men there, crying. I said, wait, I just preach. If you want to give one, I will come out. And then they came up. People were kneeling down, crying. I said, God, what? It touched my heart that God can tell somebody, give 1 month of your alawi. To see somebody crying, that means that sacrifice is costly. It's painful. just come and then you just plan. I remember I calculated my first 1 month allowing 98. I said I will buy one wrapper for my mother, buy one shoe for my father, buy this, because I didn't know I'll become NCCA president. I shared the money only to say come and pay capitation. And the preacher did not just stop. After he preached the first sermon, he said, God has told me that there are people that are going to give to. So come outside, you want to give to. I came outside. I told myself that day after the second one. I said, if this man should call for 7 times, I'll come out. Like, I made up my mind that, Lord, I am waiting. I was waiting for him to make the third call. Let's say, there are people here that will give the third time, come outside. I was waiting for him. I was ready to give everything. Hallelujah. Yeah, so because there is a supernatural grace. I have heard stories of people that have done some givings, that it will blow your mind. Some people will sell their car and trade for 1.5 years. Some people sell their house and then give in offering, and then that is why some people say some people are mad. Hallelujah. But to obedience to instructions like that, I know many of us here know Bishop Oyedepo's story. When God told him to give his baby food, you know, baby food, like the wife just gave birth and then he just collected his salary, small thousands, and then he went to the mountain to pray. And then God said, what did you bring for me? He said, God, what do you want? He said, your salary. He said, God, take it. Then God gave, so he gave it to salary, not thinking about, because women, I didn't think it was only his money, it's easy. But now I can understand it's difficult for a man to make that kind of sacrifice with a wife with a tiny baby. And just say, Lord, take it. If we die, we die. If we perish, we perish. And then God said, from today, even if you want to be poor, it is too late. Hallelujah. He gave out his car again. So there are some things that God will instruct us to do. Sometimes God will say, don't do this. I had some people that God said, don't buy a car. Like God's servant Apostle Joshua Selman. He had money to buy a house, had money to buy a car, in millions. But God said, don't buy a car. He was taking bike to come to Koinonia. When people were dashing him, how come, man of God, how come we come in car? Imagine your members coming and parking their cars, and then the man of God just, bike, just came up on bike with his Bible. Yeah, that was his true life story. Some people come and give him car, and he said, no, God said, don't collect it. So one man said, take this car, please. God told me. He said that the man, no, don't collect it. But some people feel embarrassed. How can we be coming with a car? The man that will preach is climbing bike. The God said, don't buy a car. Typical instructions may come to you. Like, wake up and pray every night. That is when the night becomes the sweetest. Yeah. Before, when God did not tell you, you can easily wake up in the night. But immediately God said it, suddenly it will become difficult. See, if you begin a Bible reading plan, how many of us do Bible reading plan here? You know Bible reading plan? Is it easy? Come on, is it easy? Even if it is one chapter per day, I'm telling you, let's say today you're reading, today my own Bible reading plan, Matthew 18. Even if it is not the fact that you decide to do something. Hey! That is when you know how you can easily preach. Study the word of God on Sunday. You can shout all you want. It's not easy. You can say, begin to fast. I told somebody to fast to 3 last week. And the person fast, they say, as if I want to die. They know fasting is not easy. Until you fast for 3 days or 2 days or something like that, you begin to respect people that fast. Come on, hallelujah. But when God gives you an instruction, he gives you the grace to do it. Like the grace to fast will suddenly come on you. The grace to be consistent will come on you. The grace to be able to wake up and pray. Now sometimes you may wake up. I don't know why I remember something. Somebody posted a video, they said, when you wake up, leave your bed and then brush your mouth. Say that brush up. Say when you I can't remember where I saw it, but say brush your mouth and then wake up. Wait, it should be. Anyway, I watched a video this year. So when you wake up, brush your mouth. And then leave the bed. Because sometimes you can say you can pray on your bed and then you begin to shake your leg. How many of you method? Before you know it's morning already, my brother. Hey! Before you know it's morning. Praying on your bed is one of the greatest temptations that many people have. Because they feel, you will not know when you slept. You wake up with your Bible on. I know many of you are strong anyway, but sometimes this will happen to me. Wake up with your Bible under your pillow. Wake up, you remember someone that you slept with the Bible. You slept with the Bible. Hallelujah. Until the grace you pray. Hey, I have prayed before and I entered the bush praying. I woke up sleeping on the road. Like this. Shabalada. You know, walking like this. Shabalada barada 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 barada. Midnight prayer. It was in the bush prayer street like this. When I came back to my senses, I was far into the bush. But I was in my mouth. I'm telling you, I was walking shabalada barada but sleeping. Yeah. That's happened to me like not once, not twice, not thrice. You can sleep, pray. Hallelujah. When you begin to pray for 36 hours, when you hear people say they pray for 74 hours, there is one secret they don't tell you. Do you know the secret? Should I tell you the secret? Hey. So what is the sign? Or how do you keep yourself under subjection to obey God? Number one, yield yourself as a living sacrifice. Say, wherever, Lord, you lead me, I will follow. I wish somebody is hearing me here. Praise the Lord. And say, Lord, anywhere you lead me. There is some of you here that God may tell you to go to come become a pastor. See, God just asked me to say it now, seriously, on a serious note. Like, I can so many people here that God may tell them to become a pastor very soon. Apart from this one, you're a pastor here. Look, I'm talking about Timi, Ima, Chinwe, and then Victor. And then maybe Temita, your pastor, Temita, maybe something like that. But one of you here, God will tell you. We'll wait and see. One day, you remember what I said now. One of you here, one day God will tell you, I want to become a pastor. Yeah. And then when you look at your parent and then your certificate, your 2-1, you look at your school fees, you look at the job you had, the offers you have, and then look at that wife. With this job, I can marry next year. But when I enter ministry, man, the story changes. Mary received the grace to be a living sacrifice. Those of you that I'm talking to, you are not saying amen. Grace to be a living sacrifice. And say, Lord, I sacrifice my certificate in the name of Jesus. I sacrifice that husband in the name of Jesus. I sacrifice that babe in the name of Jesus. I sacrifice that money. I'm telling you, lose everything for Jesus and then you gain it. The Bible says, they that lose it are those that what? Gain it. Because eventually you will get it. But you have to lose it. I pray for you that when is your time, you have grace in Jesus' name. Maybe God directly brought you to this service to hear this word and you have heard it. So that when he begins to tell you, you know that I have told you on the 22nd of October. It is 22nd. I've told you one time that I will call you. Now is the call. Be a living sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, make a decision to be spirit-filled, spirit-led, instead of body-ruled. Spirit-led and instead of what? Body-ruled. You don't move by what your body tells you. Hallelujah. Learn to practice acting in faith. Learn to practice acting in faith. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was a student, I heard about acting in faith. Then I, there is a way if you want to buy a car, you have to look like somebody that can buy a car. Come on, are we together? So I dressed like somebody that can buy a car. And then I went to the car park. And there is a way that I tell them, no, this person can buy a car. When they look at your shoe, and then, how is this car? Then Sally will come and attend to him. The real one will come. When you are doing a joker. Yeah. But if you say you go with not this kind of suit, like a real suit. Polished shoe. Let them not see you when you are coming. Let them not see that you came through bike. Let them just see you in the car shop. Say, how much is this car? Say, 16 million naira. 16 million naira. What is inclusive? Is that a car tracker? Is that, there's some things you have researched on YouTube so that it look like somebody that knows something. So I went to the car shop. I was acting in faith. Lord, I'm going to buy my first car before I graduate. I remember in Mina. Yes, Mina. I went to the car. I was looking at the cars. Yeah. Even though that was wrong. Anyway. I was learning how to practice in faith. Learning how to practice in faith. I remember how my first visa expired. Sorry, my first what? Driving license. 22,000 naira, 5 years. Expired with that tire. Expired with that tire. And you know the worst part? I have a new one. It was done 2020. It's now almost 1 year gone. I have 4 more years. But there is no witch in hell that can make this one expire without a car. Like, there is no witch. Hey! That was before. This one must drive a car. Act in faith. I'm telling you. Act in faith. Believe God. When God said do this, just obey. Just act in faith. If you never act in faith, you will never pray for a sick person to rise from the dead. For me, pray for somebody is not a difficulty. If God doesn't answer, I know it's not God's problem. I will not say it's God's problem. I know the problem is not God. Because the same person brings somebody else, he will walk. Let's say I pray for a sick person now, and the person is not healed. If I say, God, you take the shame, I know I'm joking. At least I am wiser than that. Because move me by the side, bring Bishop Oyedepo now. Say, he will just say, it is done. The person will stand up. Same God. So the problem is not God. The problem is, but I have to build my faith. I have to pray and pray and pray and pray. I remember the first time I gave a word of knowledge. I was afraid if somebody would ever come up because it was weird. It was not like, I just knew that somebody's head was bumped in a student environment, every lady looking cute, every lady looking fine. How will you think that somebody dreamt, slept, and then somebody caught her hair? In this kind of audience, it's not possible. But I was like, why do I start to lose if I say it? And I said, okay, who is it that there's somebody here? I don't say in passing if you are the one. And then, do you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, don't mention it. Let the person come out. Not as another ball game altogether. You know, you can mention it and pray from the altar. I declare it is reversed. Whether nobody come out, nobody will know that it was false. Are you not going to talk about at all? You can say, no, from there, nobody's looking. Everybody's looking for the front because you can, you know, there are what we call ministerial techniques. Not to embarrass yourself. You say, you know, because it's a sensitive matter, I don't want anybody to look at the back. You just force your front. Now, I declare this council in the name of, meanwhile, nobody's hand is up. People that are free to understand what I'm talking about. So I would have done that. But the Holy Spirit said, let the person come forward. Lay hands on the person. Now that was the shocking part. I remember when I said it, when the first lady came out, I could not believe myself. Three ladies. You know, those are the butters, fair girls from head to toe. I could not believe my ears. That was the time I had faith. Next time when God said, this is it, I say it. When God said, this is it, I say it. I like, but I had to have faith to practice that obedience. If I have never done it, I wouldn't have been hearing God. I wouldn't have. Come on, hallelujah. I have prayed for many people and they were not healed. Blind, never saw. Did like Jesus Christ, pop, spit on the saliva, mix the sand, put on the eye, and it was a crusade. Village people are not like city people that can encourage you. If they are not seeing, they are not seeing. I know blindness is different from stomach pain. How do you feel? When you get read the person say, it has left me small. if the man is not seen, he's not seen. Are you seeing? No, he's not seen. Hey, we threw another technique. Now let's worship. Oh boy, worship, nothing happened. Tell them, bring him in the morning. I cannot kill myself. So, and then they found that man that was crippled. But, when I said, no, it's not me again. Ow. That's when you begin to understand when pastor will say, if you are not healed, don't come to the front. We only want people that are healed to come to the front. I mean, that preacher say that. If you are not here, stay there. God will touch you there. Because of this kind of experience that I had. You think with that kind of experience, means I will repeat that kind of mistake. Because it was on stage. Because there's so small thing happened now. They say, okay, this is what you can eat. I'm like, hey, I was not experienced now. But now that I know, if you are not healed there, you'll not be healed here. if you are not healed here, God will help you in Jesus' name. But the day God asked me, I will do it again. Apostle Master, they took him to the mortuary to pray for a dead person. So he went there charged in the Holy Ghost. Where is the dead person? They took him to the person. Who's one among them? So he prayed. Look at the person that brought and said, take me out of here. Take me out of here. Don't take me out of here. Take me out of here. But the next time God says pray for a dead person, you pray again. Yeah. The boldness to practice faith. Hallelujah. Until you lose your ego, God will never use you. Yeah, God will never use you. If someone can make mistake, prophesy, you can make a mistake. You can make a mistake. So learn to practice. Obey God. Practice and move in faith. And as you do anything God tells you, just so long as, don't forget, I taught us on how to validate the leadings of God. Once you are sure that this is God, just trust Him and obey Him. Come on, hallelujah. Even if the road is looking shadowy or clay or grayish, just obey. Follow God in the midst of the darkness. It will eventually work. God will never embarrass you. Never. Hallelujah. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may what? Boldly say, the Lord is with me. If God be for us, no one can be against us. Trust Him and obey Him. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of that call of somebody being called to the ministry. I believe this is what this service is meant for. When God calls you, have the grace to trust Him. And I pray it's multiple people serve in Jesus' name. We need many people in the ministry. Because people are leaving the ministry every day. Every week. We need many people to join us. And may you join us in the name of Jesus Christ. Grace to join us in the field. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you make one prayer with me and say, Father Lord, I want to trust you and obey you. Grant me the grace. I want to trust and obey. I don't want to be cursed for disobeying you. I want to trust in your word. I want to put my trust in Jesus. Not on a connection. Not on a relationship. Not on a promise. Not on certificate. Not on my intellect. But total confidence. And reliance on your instructions, on your leadings. Lord, my heart is open to follow. Wherever you may lead, Lord, I will follow. Help me to trust and obey you. Sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it can be discouraging. Sometimes it can look impossible. But grace to trust and obey. Lord, you told me I will be a millionaire. But when I look at my account, there is nothing to show about. Lord, you told me I will raise the dead. But when I hear myself preach, I am not encouraged. You told me I will sing to the nations. But no one is calling and making demands for my grace. Lord, you told me this will happen. Lord, I receive the grace to trust you.
I receive the grace to trust you. That I will obey you until it happens. I will obey you until it happens. I will obey you until it happens. I put my faith in you. I refuse to trust in man. Grant me the grace, Lord Jesus.
The compass you need has just been delivered into your hands. You can get all the anointed messages on our Telegram channel at Shekinah Encounter Center Sermons. For more inquiries, you can also call 080-6522-6276 or 080-2611-2114. Remain rapturable.